We have with us today Dr. Lillian Gilbreth. Mrs. Gilbreth is the president of Gilbreth Incorporated of Montclair, New Jersey, a firm of management consultants, has long been associated in this field, and I suppose it would be unfair to our listeners to not bring up this the reason that I suppose that the large majority of the American public know you, particularly in relation with the very, very popular and very hilariously funny book, Cheaper by the Dozen.
That's true. Many people seem to have had a great deal of fun
reading
the book, especially children and young people, I'm happy to say.
I rather have a hunch that it will go down in history as one of those things that can be read and reread. I've read it twice. And,
have you really?
Yes,
my children who wrote it will be just happy to hear that.
You are not an author, I take it, then, in this field.
Oh, no. I'm just the mother of some of the participants.
You have done writing, though, have you not?
Yes, but mostly in the technical field.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been working in the whole field of
management? In this field of management? Mm-hmm. Ever since I was married. My husband was interested in time and energy saving, developed motion study, and of course, I worked with him as long as he lived and ever since.
Mm-hmm. And you were here at the university for a number of years working in this field, as I understand.
Yes, I was. I was here in the general engineering department while we developed these courses, and I was so pleased and happy to come back and see how splendidly the work has grown.
I want to get back to this in a minute, but let's go to the reason for your being on campus today.
Well, I'm delighted to be on campus today to spend 2 or 3 days with the House Mothers course. As you know, it's about 12 years old now, and I think I've only missed 1 or 2 meetings when I've been in some other countries. There are 132 women here from all over the country, and I'm one of the people who believe it does a wonderful counseling service for young people living on our campuses.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking to them about the counseling or about the management of the houses which they have charge of?
Well, I think I started with the counseling, but I'm tremendously interested with automation and all these challenging new problems coming into the world. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me an excellent opportunity talk to these women who are on the human end of the thing about the necessary changes in one's thinking and in one's education to meet these new short work day, longer period of free time, and so on.
Mm-hmm. How long are the women here?
Pardon
me? How long are the house mothers on campus?
Well, they're here. They're finishing up their second week. I was only here for a day or two. And as usual, I've been skimming all over the campus, calling on Dean Potter and having lunch with the Shreves just back from Formosa.
I noticed them. I saw them driving through campus today. I didn't realize they were back.
I was on the Formosa team from Purdue a year or two ago for a short time. And it's just wonderful to see how the work over there is progressing.
I haven't talked to Professor Shreve about this, but one thing that seems to stick out in all of our discussion of peoples of other lands as it relates to their ability to do the things that we do here in America, the mechanical things, to adapt to the automation and so on that you mentioned. Is there an inherent ability on the part of a United States citizen to adapt more readily to this condition than there is a Formosan or a Russian, let's say?
Well, fundamentally, I really don't feel that any one people has more adaptability to another than another. But, of course, the people of each country have to see how appropriate any activity is to their own country. And I think it's so intelligent in this setup that we not only send a team abroad and that Professor and Mrs. Shreve so wholeheartedly go over and share, but that also so many students and faculty men from Formosa, as far as Purdue is concerned, come and live on this campus a year or two and then sort of think through what they can take back and how it can be worked out.
But we do not, because of our environment, the fact that my 8-year-old continually plays with motor cars and learns how to put things together, learns a great deal of mechanical dexterity at a very early age. Does this have any effect on his ability or the ability of children in general in this country to...
I think it does. I think one can't possibly have generation after generation going from pure research to applied research to actually going through the mechanical processes without making the learning process shorter for each generation. Mm-hmm. But it's simply amazing to me how these people from other countries do respond to education and training.
Well, we've learned a lot about education. I am tremendously impressed with the educational toys. I'm sure that my 8-year-old has a much better grasp of machines and engines and forces and things of this nature at 8 than I did at 10 or 12 or maybe even into high school.
That's one of the things we're talking about at the House Mothers meeting this morning, because I feel that learning and teaching is a lifelong process, and mm-hmm. that we have to expect to learn from the young generation as well as to teach them. And it makes for
a
very happy family relationship. Mm-hmm. If even the youngest one feels he has something to contribute, that he can be the teacher.
And those ideas that
yes,
come
exactly.
out of the young they're tremendous. They're the fresh approach that all of American life continually needs in order to maintain its virility. True?
On the other hand, of course, I think one does find in some of these Oriental countries, for example, a wonderful philosophy of family life, a great respect for older people, mm-hmm. great love for children, not only one's own, but everybody's children.
Mm-hmm.
We learn as well as teach.
Everyone has something to contribute.
That's right.
Speaking of contributions, I know that you have grappled long and evidently very well with the problems of management as it affects our industry. What about the lessons that you have learned here? Can they be applied to the tremendous influx of students that we are about to have at institutions of higher learning?
Yes, I think they can, but I think one has to have a very complete knowledge, not only of the university level, but of all of the preparation stages down the line and of what happens to the home.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something which one can do in a spare quarter of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Our attempt to give everybody equal opportunity has made our problems awfully important.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this whole question of management. All of the various areas in which you have worked and the many problems that you have faced, do any key parts stand out here? You mentioned automation. This is the new thing. Now, over the span of 30 or 40 years, have there been other key breaks that have materially affected the industrial progress of the United States?
Yes, I do think that we have a more articulate feeling toward the human element, that we know much more from the social sciences about people and their attitudes and how they respond. I think recently we brought out much more clearly not only the value of participation, but how one can participate. And I do think that the spread of time and energy saving and utilizing what you have from business and industry to hospitals and libraries and the home, but especially to work with physically handicapped people who have a very limited store of energy. They've all been developments through the years, which to me are highest parts.
What about this whole field that I'm particularly interested in, namely communication? As we become more and more complex, as our processes become more difficult to understand, it seems to me that there is a wide area here of
I think that's true.
Not understanding between these areas.
I think that the importance of communication has grown with the years. I think that the realization that mediums of communication, such as radio, television, and telephone, and all those things, is being supplemented more and more with how these mediums can be best used. Mm-hmm. Selectivity, a feeling that it's something made available to you, but you're supposed to choose the best and to appreciate the best, and that you can learn from them, if you do choose the best, how to communicate yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. I think that is a tremendous human relations area there, which hasn't as yet been fully appreciated. Do you agree?
I certainly do. It's just there's been little or no work in this area at all. We certainly appreciate your taking time out of a very busy schedule to come over and chat with us today. We hope that you'll take the opportunity again the next time you're back on Purdue campus for the House Mothers or any other conference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Lillian Gilbreth.